This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. Here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcasts, I weigh in once a week with you here on Intelligent Medicine, answering your questions, talking about topics of interest with regarding health, wellness, nutrition, and I welcome all of your questions, topic ideas. Email me, please, to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Now, I want to bring up, because it's all been in the headlines again, at least a couple of weeks ago, American Heart Association talking about the dangers of saturated fat. This is a reprise on their part of bringing up some very old and cherry-picked scientific information about the dangers of saturated fat. They're targeting specifically coconut oil. I actually have an email from John about the headline, "Coconut oil isn't healthy, it's never been healthy." John writes, "Dear Layla, I did not expect to email you again, but the USA Today article sounds shocking to me, and I'd love to hear your much appreciated comments." Thank you, John. Thank you for emailing me. And if you're not already subscribing to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, I know that Dr. Hoffman and I have both done damage control in newsletter articles, in Dr. Hoffman's podcasts as well, to really discern and decipher all of this information, which is just really a reprise of what they've been touting all along, which appears to be they appear to be ignoring the most recent science. When I say the most recent science, I'm talking about over the last 15 to 20 years ago. So here's what they say, and this is out of USA Today. The Dietary Fats and Cardiovascular Disease Advisory reviewed existing data on saturated fat showing coconut oil increased LDL, the so-called bad cholesterol, in 7 out of 7 controlled trials. Researchers didn't see a difference between coconut oil and other oils high in saturated fat like butter, beef fat, and palm oil. In fact, 82% of the fat in coconut oil is saturated according to the data, far beyond butter, which is 63% fat saturated, beef fat, which is 50% saturated, and pork lard, which is 39% saturated fat. They say because coconut oil increases LDL cholesterol, a cause of cardiovascular disease, and has no known offsetting favorable effects, we advise against the use of coconut oil, the American Heart Association said in the Dietary Fats and Cardiovascular Disease Advisory, which was in American Heart Association Journals.org. Frank Sachs, lead author of the report, said he has no idea why people think coconut oil is healthy. It's almost 100% fat. Past weight loss studies might be responsible. Yeah, well, there are a lot of articles that tell us that you need to eat fat to lose fat. It's really the carbohydrates that are the foe. The reason they say coconut oil is so popular for weight loss is partly due to my research on medium-chain triglycerides, Marie-Pierre Saint-Ange, associate professor of nutritional medicine at Columbia University Medical Center, told Time last April. Coconut oil has a higher proportion of MCTs, medium-chain triglycerides, than most other fats or oils, and my research showed eating MCTs may increase the rate of metabolism more than eating long-chain triglycerides. That's fine. Now, the problem is St. Ange's research used a designer oil packed with 100% MCTs. Traditional coconut oil only contained about 15%. Another study she published showed smaller doses of MCTs doesn't help. So American Heart still recommends eating no more than 6% of saturated fat as part of total daily calories for those who need to lower their cholesterol. No, you don't. You could eat more saturated fat, but you need to do this in the context of a low-carb diet. It's the carbohydrates that are directing the liver to make more triglycerides and smaller, denser LDL, which is the less desirable, more atherogenic LDL particle. You know, they're spearheading, they're focusing simply on LDL and the raising of LDL. But it's not that simple. And unfortunately, AHA continues to simplify it in this manner and then make their assertions for the public's health. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Let me tell you. In the setting of eating coconut oil or a high saturated fat diet, in the presence of a low carb diet, or even in the presence of a high carb diet, LDL may remain high or may go even higher. Now, in the presence of a high carb diet, that LDL is going to be small, dense pattern B particles. And typically, triglycerides won't move at all. If anything, depending on the amount of carbohydrates you're consuming or their refinement, like, you know, sugar, white flour, all of that, your triglycerides are going to go even higher. But in the setting of a low-carb diet, triglycerides fall off a cliff. American Heart doesn't even address the fact that high triglyceride levels are an independent risk factor for heart disease, coronary artery disease in particular. But still, they continue to focus on LDL. But they focus on LDL without breaking down the particle. Particle size matters. Size matters, people. So, in the setting of a low-carb, high-fat, including a high saturated fat diet, as long as it's in the context of a low-carb eating program, that LDL particle is going to become much more desirable, much more favorable. Triglycerides are going to fall off a cliff, and that occurs even in the obese and the morbidly obese before any weight loss has occurred. I've seen this with my own eyes in patients back when I worked with Dr. Atkins, the late Dr. Atkins. Moreover, in the presence of a high-fat, low-carb diet, HDL levels go up. If your HDL was a 48, it might suddenly become a 73. This is a much better number. And that HDL particle is going to be more favorable. And that HDL is your garbage truck, so to speak, that carries away the bad stuff. So American Heart is merely focused on LDL without any mention of what increasing your fat, especially saturated fats like coconut oil, gives you a more favorable HDL, thereby putting your cholesterol profile in a much better ratio, a much more favorable ratio of HDL to LDL. And this is exactly what you want to occur. So, and I'm sure if you're a subscriber to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, Dr. Hoffman released a really excellent article. I think it was in the June 22nd newsletter about American Heart's descriptions and here we go again. And, you know, the most troubling thing to me, and I've written about this, the most troubling thing to me in American Heart's recommendations is that they are still touting vegetable oils, polyunsaturated vegetable oils, as being healthy. But they name names. They say polyunsaturated vegetable oils like corn oil, soybean oil, peanut oil or heart healthy. They're not. And mind you, no mention of fish oil at all, EPA and DHA, the very beneficial omega-3s. In the standard American diet, the SAD diet, we are overburdened with so many pro-inflammatory omega-6 sources. Let me name them. Grains. If you're eating a lot of grains, that's a primary source right there. Secondly, if you're eating regular commercial meat, factory farm meat, commercial chicken, they are fed grain. That's how they're getting their omega-6 sources, and that's how we're getting it. We eat what the animal eats. How we're affected is by what the animal eats, let alone the hormones and antibiotics and so forth, pesticides, herbicides that are contained in their feed, right? So the standard American diet, too high in pro-inflammatory omega-6 fats. And here is American Heart proposing that we get more of these polyunsaturated vegetable oils. You know, the SAD diet, the standard American diet, is already so high in omega-6 fats that the ratio is like 20 to 1 of omega-6 to omega-3 fats in the diet. During the Stone Age or the time of our prehistoric ancestors, that ratio was more like 2 to 1, 1 to 1, at worst 4 to 1 omega-6 to omega-3. So I'm very, very, very troubled that they are still asserting, that they are still touting that polyunsaturated vegetable oils are heart healthy. They are not. And no mention whatsoever of fish oil, which I am very, very dismayed, John. So I thank you for your question. So I encourage anyone, again, this information is being regurgitated again and again. Well, they're regurgitating it again because they're still basing it on old science. They've cherry-picked what they're looking at, and they're not looking at the most recent science. And when I say the most recent, people, I'm talking the last 15 to 20 years, because that's when it started to come out. Now, more that's said here in US Today Network. They say, before you trash your coconut oil, know that saturated fat is a loaded term. While the AHA warns against it, people who cut saturated fat out of their diet might not necessarily lower their heart disease risk, said a British Medical Journal review from 2015. And that's because some people fill the void with sugar, white flour, empty calories. And that's what happens, because by filling it with all these carbs, you are effectively making your LDL a small dense particle, very atherogenic. You're raising your triglycerides, an independent risk factor, and quite possibly messing with the HDL. Now, USA Today also says, also some fat is important to help bodies absorb nutrients from other foods. So many have said butter has gotten a bad reputation. These foods get a bad rap, but are actually good for you. However, Frank Sachs says, still, it might not be a bad idea to opt for vegetable oils or olive oil. Okay, I commend you on even mentioning olive oil, because we like that. That's an omega-9. That's a monounsaturated fat that we already know is heart healthy. And coconut oil can be a very effective moisturizer or hair conditioner. I know I use it. I've got a jar of coconut oil in my kitchen for cooking, and I have a different jar of coconut oil in my bathroom for after shower. So, here we go. I would continue using coconut oil. I certainly am. You want to do use these fats in the setting of a low carb diet. That's the best way to do, because a low carb diet is the healthiest diet on the planet, in my estimation. So, American Heart, in my opinion, has chosen to disregard the most recent and valid scientific research. They only chose to look at old research, and all of that research that they looked at that showed, that concluded, that saturated fats raise HDL were all done in the setting of a high-carb diet. That means carbohydrate intake of at least 50 1% of calories. Okay. So there's my take on that. You could read more in our newsletters and at drhoffman.com. John, thank you very, very much for your very thoughtful email. So I've got a question from Alan. I've got an email from Alan. Hi, Layla. I'm confused and need some help. I recently took a food sensitivity test, and the results show I had no sensitivities to specific foods, but should avoid Candida albicans. I've been drinking and enjoying kombucha to improve my microbiome, but I stopped because I believe that Candida feed on fermented products and that I was doing more harm than good. Can you weigh in? Should I stop taking fermented products? Thanks for your assistance. Alan, thank you for your question. In my short answer, yes. If you were shown on a test that it would be best to avoid Candida albicans, avoiding all products with brewer's yeast, baker's yeast, all of that. And there are lots of different strains of Candida. Candida albicans is the one that's problematic, okay? And that's what we refer to when we talk about Candida overgrowth in the gut. Overgrowth of Candida is not good for the microbiome. And because kombucha is fermented, it's like a fermented tea, tiny amounts of alcohol in there, be careful. All these fermented probiotic foods I know we've talked about before as being very, very healthy for the gut. However, there are two situations, and they're basically the same situation, where this is not true. If you have an overgrowth of yeast or Candida or show sensitivity to Candida on a test, these probiotic foods should be avoided, at least in the short term. The other situation where these probiotic foods should probably be eliminated from the diet is if you have SIBO, that's small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Now, that could also be a Candida overgrowth because Candida lives from the mouth to the anus. That is the deal with the ecosystem. It's the overgrowth of Candida that's problematic. And in the setting of Candida or yeast overgrowth, as well as SIBO, when we eat probiotic foods or take probiotics, they tend to join the party of the bad overgrowth in terms of feeding the bad bacteria. So we have to kind of be careful in that regard. It's a little gray area of when we're helping a person get rid of their SIBO or to lower the yeast overgrowth by putting them on a yeast-free diet, a Candida-free diet, which includes the elimination of any and all sugar, dried fruit. For those with severe Candida, I even remove fruit altogether for a couple of weeks, at least in the beginning, until their symptoms are more under control. Now, I'm talking about those with severe Candida, meaning systemic Candida. They may have skin rashes like eczema. They may have chronic sinusitis of a fungal origin, which may be related to Candida. You know, chronic athlete's foot, itching, jock itch, fungal nails, all of that kind of thing, and eczema that just won't quit. It also contributes to psoriasis. So getting rid of sugars and any other types of refined sugars, such as starches and even starchy vegetables and fruits for a period of time, is helpful. So, Alan, if you're showing up, if your test is saying that you have some sensitivity to Candida or that you should remove it, but you don't have any overt symptoms, it is probably best for you to avoid these probiotic foods for a period of time and then reintroduce them slowly, maybe after a period of a month, 6 weeks. Really, it's best to have some supervision. Go back to that practitioner who performed the test on you. Have them advise you, or at least have them send you to a qualified nutritionist who knows how to deal with Candida, who will know about yeast overgrowth, putting you on the proper yeast-free diet, and knowing how long or how low you have to go or how high you have to go on yeast elimination, depending on the severity of any symptoms that you may have. And another good idea for anybody who's showing sensitivity to Candidas, they may have a leaky gut because an overgrowth of Candida can also cause leaky gut. So that's another reason to be on a yeast-free diet for a period of time. It can help with control the overgrowth of Candida, diminishing its overgrowth, taking some proper antifungals, whether they're prescription or natural things like olive leaf or biocidin or candibactins, ARBR, you want to be dosed properly. I don't recommend people necessarily do this on their own without knowing the exact severity. I think an assessment is absolutely called for. A good nutrition assessment for that is helpful. So, Alan, I thank you for your question. Stay away from the kombucha for now, for at least a period of time. You may choose to be retested again, maybe in, 4 to 6 months to see if that candida test is still returning positive or not, and that can guide you as the best time to reintroduce your use of kombucha as well as other probiotic foods. So thank you for your emails, Alan and John, and I thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.